You're listening to Home Chewy Podcast, February 2006. This week we have student news, Elizabeth's art, word of the week, word fact of the week, Curtis Scott King piece, and we got Mail Corner. First up, student news.
From now on, an old classmate and friend is going to be coming to our classroom to edit our podcasting work. His name is James. He is in fifth grade, and Mr. S trained him to edit our podcast. The way he does it is he goes on the computer and takes out our mistakes. For example, if we said a word twice, he would take one out, and it helps Mr. Sprinkle so he doesn't have to do as much work at home and he can spend more time with his family. It also helps because James also can record people, so Mr. Sprinkle can help people with their work. If you want to hear James' work, you can go to last year's podcast. Thanks, James.
Also this week, we went to a planetarium in the gym. It was a small bubble area with a special machine inside that made stars appear. Mr. Negley is the man who controlled the planetarium. He told us where the sun rises in the sky. It depends on what season it is. He also used a machine that made stars appear. Along with that, he showed us pictures in the stars, like the Big and Little Dipper.
Also, last week, we have started to practice for a very special event in our school, Jump Rope for Heart. Jump Rope for Heart is a special event on the 16th and 17th of February every year. We will jump rope for an hour. Before we jump rope, people can get a permission slip to earn money for the Jump Rope for Heart. All the money we collect will go to the American Heart Association, according to our gym teacher, Mrs. Cato. This is what Jump Rope for Heart is for.
Another thing we learned this week is a new role for literature circles. The new role is called Literary Luminary. Literary Luminary is a job that people get to do. The job is to find a part of a book that catches your attention. On the role page, there are four boxes. The first box is for writing the page number. The second one is for the paragraph number. The third box is for why you picked it. For example, it's surprising, confusing, or well-written. And the fourth box is your plan for reading it, to yourself, or if you're going to read it out loud to your group. That is how you do Literary Luminary.
Lastly, we have a new attachment to our blog. It's called the Room 208 Journal Blog. You can check it out if you want. The address is bobsprankle.com/journal. There are two different kinds of questions. Required questions are in red, which means we have to answer it, and there is casual conversations too. That means you can do it if you want to. You are also allowed to do the questions at your house.
Hi, this is Elizabeth with Elizabeth's Ark. This week we have some wonderful animals, a dog named Colonel, some kittens, and a bunny named PJ. And after the animals, I will have a special report from Mrs. Lazar's class. She is another fourth grade teacher in the school. Well, here are the animals. First we have Colonel. His rank is a long-term residence, and he is recruiting for his new family. His orders are to fall into his forever home. He's been stationed at the shelter since summer and waiting for his transfer to his forever home. His family brought him here because they were moving and could not take him along. He is a 7-year-old Labrador Retriever mix. He is a happy dog who loves to play, especially with a ball. One of the volunteers has been taking him to the shelter obedience classes. He would like to continue to work with his new family on obedience because it is fun for him to show everyone how much he knows. When you see him in his kennel, he will bark. Please ask one of the shelter staff or volunteers to get him out of his kennel so he can show you what a good soldier he is. He needs a person at his new home who will be firm and act as a general from whom he will take orders. He is looking for a platoon with active members over 12 years old. Please also bring in other pets stationed at your home so that he can meet them. Make sure you can come to see him soon so he can sign up for his new home. Kitten season is coming to a close, but we still have a number of kittens currently in foster care. They are made available for adoption once they reach the proper weight to be spayed and neutered. Please call ahead to find what kittens are available. Also, please check out our adult cats. They need homes too. Now we have PJ. He is a 1 year, 1.5 year old male, lop-eared rabbit. He's beautifully soft and black and white fur. His previous family surrendered him to the shelter because they had no time for him. Rabbits as pets do require quite a bit of time and energy. He prefers an indoor only lifestyle and have a friendly and playful nature. He knows he will hit it off, so please visit soon. Whoa, weren't those animals great? If one sounds just right for you, you can go to www.animalwelfaresociety.com or call at 207-985-3244. And now the special report with Mrs. Lazar's class. I interviewed Mrs. Lazar's class 2 weeks ago. They raised money for the Animal Welfare Society. Here's how they did it. They got the money from cans, allowance, money they found, and bottle receipts. They want to help make a difference. Not only Miss Lazar's class did it, I only interviewed them. Miss Longley's and Miss Demers' class did it too. At the end of every week, they would add it up how much they raised that week. Then they sent it to the office where they would put it in a safe. They started this project in October. Before they brought it to the office, they would keep it in a jar. When they were done with the project, someone from the AWS came, told them where and how the money will help the animals. They earned $332 altogether. Unfortunately, we weren't able to podcast when the lady came to talk to them. When they did this, everyone participated, and everyone had fun. Isn't that cool how they did that? This was Elizabeth with Elizabeth's Ark. Bye.
Hi, I'm Cassie with the Word of the Week, and the Word of the Week this week is indignation. I'm going to be asking some people what they think the word indignation means. What do you think the word indignation means?
I think the word indignation means like
happy?
I think the word indignation means, like, you're annoyed by something.
I think it means, like, planning something.
What do you think the word indignation means?
I think the word indignation means, like, if you, like, popped a bone or something, they'd do a surgery called indignation on you.
I think it means, like, you get into this big conversation and you start getting into a huge conversation and don't get really mad and stuff. So, like, you start saying, like, no, I'm not like that. Not like, no, not that, or no, not, it's something else.
What the word indignation really means is being angry. Here's the word indignation in a sentence. The class exploded with indignation. We got that from David Wuerlich's blog. David Wuerlich is an education podcaster. You see, David Wuerlich was at a conference, and when he was done talking about Room 208, he asked for questions. One guy said we used our own voice. Then the guy after him said maybe their teacher writes it for them and they read it on the podcast. David Wuerlich wrote an article called Their Own Voice. Here's part of a paragraph. Bob Sprinkle, the teacher of Room 208, subscribes to my podcast and heard the comment. He clipped that part of the podcast out and played it the next day for his students. The class exploded with indignation. When we heard that, we didn't feel angry, we felt upset. We first took it as a diss, then we took it as a compliment. I'm Cassidy, and that was the word of the week.
Hi, I'm Sage.
And I'm Mark.
And here is Mail Corner.
This is our first time doing Mail Corner this year.
We are going to read you 8 letters. Here they are. Our first letter we are going to read is from Scott C. Kenny. He wrote,
"Good morning, boys and girls. My name is Scott Kinney, and I work for a company called Discovery Community. You may be familiar with some of our work on Discovery Channel, Animal Planet, TLC, and Discovery Kids. My job is to help teachers around the world do what you already do very well, communicate with each other, and share ideas. In February, I will be speaking with a group of educators affiliated with an organization named CAPE, Center for Advising Parentship Education. I was listening to your podcast the other day and was so impressed that I was hoping to use part of it at the conference. Therefore, I am writing to ask your permission to use some of your podcast to demonstrate effective communication among students. I think the work you are doing is wonderful and an inspiration to others across the world. Keep up the good work, Kenny. P.S. I would love to come visit sometime."
Thanks, Scott, for that letter.
We're looking forward to you coming in April.
Our next letter is from Janice Stearns. She wrote, "Dear Room 208 podcasters, thank you for allowing us to experience your wonderful podcast. A group of our third grade students are now meeting after school once a week to learn about recycling and to share what they've learned through publishing on the internet. They loved listening to your show and used your format as a basis for publishing their own podcast. Thanks for the ideas. I hope it was okay that we borrowed your word for the day.
idea. They wanted to do it so much that we decided to include it. In our next podcast, we will give you credit for that and also do a shout-out to you. Thanks for sharing and keep up the terrific work. Thank you, Ms. Stearns.
We think it's fine that you borrowed our idea for the word of the week. Our next letter is from Andy Lewisick, and the subject is We Believe You. Hey, Room 208, keep up the great work and keep sounding like adults did the work for you. We all believe the work is all done by you. We are making our own podcast for March is Reading Month and hope they sound as good as yours. Your friends in Hamilton, MI, Mrs. Hansen's fourth grader, and Mr. Lusick's Infratech class, Blue Star Elementary School.
Thanks for that letter. That letter was about when David Woolick was doing a talk, and one of the people said that he thought that an adult did our work.
David Woolick said that we actually were the ones that did it.
When he first said that he thought adults did the work, some people thought of it as a diss and some people thought of it as a compliment. Our next letter is from Mrs. Oakes. Here it is. Hello, Room 208. You certainly are in the news. I've heard Wicked Wikipedia. I heard you on David Woolick. I've read about you on Dan Sharesky's blog. You are everywhere. You are really learning 21st century skills. I wonder what you will do next, Mrs. Oakes.
Thanks, Mrs. Oakes, for that wonderful letter. Our next letter is from Karen Forsley, talking about the Room 208 Photo Club Gallery. And here's what she wrote. I am so glad I found the Room 208 site. I am listening to the podcast as I look at the photo gallery. What a treat. You did a great job with your book review. I felt like I was right there in the room. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Karen. Our next letter is from Christopher Hyde. Here's what he wrote. Good morning, Room 208. My name is Mr. Hyde, and I am emailing you from a small suburb outside of Harrisburg, PA, called New Cumberland. I teach a 7th grade language arts reading class. We are in the process of developing our own school podcast and have been listening to yours as one of our models. You have a number of quality ideas. Our class has some questions as we begin. Where do you get your music to accompany your podcasts? With what equipment or applications do you record your segments? Are there any suggestions you would give us as we begin to create our podcast? Thank you so much for your help and keep up the great work.
Well, where we get our music is GarageBand and PodSafe Music Network.
The equipment we use when we are not near our microphone is an Adderall recorder. And we have just started recording through the computer.
Some of our suggestions are, well, you might want to read your podcast before you record it.
Another suggestion would be have the kids practice reading it before they actually record.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with more letters from Sage and Mark.
No. third fact of the week was Zach and Ty. All these facts are researched from Ripley's books and website. We wrote Ripley's last year for permission.
Accountress Mary Arco found $50,000 worth of ducats in her garden, but she didn't spend one penny of it. She put the money in a big chest, and she brought it everywhere she went. Then, June 23rd, 1848, she tied the chest to a luggage rack in her coach. A bump in the road hit the chest up, and it fell on her head and killed her.
A car driven by Clayton Bush got hit by two trains, and then the owner was found still clutching the wheel by a nearby train track.
When a starfish is scared, it breaks off all its arms. Then they regrow. If a big piece of the starfish breaks off, it can grow into a new animal.
Henry III of France used to eat partridges covered in solid gold and omelets sprinkled with crushed pearls and poultry soaked in expensive perfume.
George McDaniels, along with the rest of his family, his mother, uncle, brothers, and father, were all born on the same day of the year.
Tim Cridlin can lie on a bed of nails and allow a 3,000-pound vehicle to drive over him.
A man that was standing in a railroad station was eating an apple when another man came up to him and said, "That smells like a North Carolina apple." The man said, "It is." The other man said, "I'm from North Carolina." The other guy said, "So am I." Then they found out that they were long-lost brothers that haven't seen each other for 30 years.
And that's our show. Don't forget to email us at room208podcast@gmail.com and visit ripleys.com. And don't forget, Ripley's is all about truth, fun, and weirdness.
Emily.
And I'm Mary.
With some sad news.
Have you heard? A sad, sad thing happened on Monday, January 30th, 2006. Coretta Scott King died.
In August, Coretta suffered from a heart attack and a stroke, but she did not die.
She was last seen at a dinner celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day on January 14th.
She was sick for many days and finally died.
She was a smart woman who fought for civil rights with her husband. We wonder if there will be a holiday for Coretta Scott King.
Only if the president listens to Room 208 podcast.
What a great show. I loved that mail corner, and I hope you did too. See you next week. Bye.
Some of the music provided today came from the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at musicpodshow.com.